Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 184, and it's an impromptu one. I'm lighting the candles, I've got the essence oils burning. It's just me and Nick in a romantic duo one. But I thought, if you can't blow your own trumpet, who can do it for you? That Red News, so this is going to be released tomorrow, which is Wednesday. We're currently on Tuesday and fucking Napoli are destroying my will and hopes that they'd be the team to stop you-know-what, the unmentionable. But we thought, because Nathan, Shane and Paul are going to do a one in Seville, but that will be when Red News. So it's 36 years on Thursday, so we thought we'd do one. And it's just us two, because Coggy's travelling around again. And Ben's busy, so you've missed about 5 minutes of cat talk, so I'll edit that bit out between me and Nick, the most boring conversation in the world. I hope this wind muffler does its job. I don't know if it works on farts, but I've cooked a curry tonight, homemade, and I think I've overdone the spices. So we'll say, I like Paul Oster, he can get very complicated as an author, but he said, old age is a very strange thing that happens to a young boy. And I thought, that's pretty much how my mindset is with Red News. 36 years older than Nick. And it's like, wow. But it is a community. And each year that passes, I want to fight on for another year. Plug for the campaign. And it's down to the community of people, the readers, the people we meet on a match day. And I hope a lot of people get it, that they do get it. Because that's why we're on 276, what a fanzine is all about. So thanks. Just odd, 16 seems like yesterday and then doesn't in the same measure. And then I could get all morbid and profound on life, but to lots of people, loved and missed. Most notably the mum who said, let's do it. Who the fuck's going to do it? And it was me who stood up. But you'll see more of that in the next mag. But I haven't been on, as Nick so graciously, this isn't going to be a, we I don't know what the term is, but we say nice things about each other, because Nick went on... I'm lost track of games. I feel a bit of a fraud because I haven't been for about 6 or 7. It's just been really weird this season. I do loads in a row and then I can't. And then lots of things have been going on. All right. But and then Nick went, do you like the words equivalent of, do you know where Old Trafford is? And I was like, oh, it wasn't that harsh. But I was like, I feel like, but I'm back from, I haven't got tickets for Spurs and West Ham. I've got Chubb. So if anyone can help out, I don't know. Am I allowed to say that officially? Fuck knows. But please help, I transfer. But I've missed loads, but obviously seen them all, but it just feels like detached. But I'm back on it every game, I think, till the end of the season. So I'm excited for the semi-final. Thursday, I go to Nick, but it's like, I'll tell you what, rewind, I can't even remember the last time I was on one, is I watched Newcastle, and obviously disappointing, anger at them getting so giddy, celebrating the win like they'd won the World Cup. But I thought it was an overreaction. We still know that there's a weak underbelly from United. And when we're tested, what we do very well is the next game we go on runs. We're very good at that. I mean, all through the season, I think, you know, lose to Brentford, then you beat Liverpool. You go to City, get spanked, you do it again. The Scousers, we had a little mini revival. And Newcastle, and then we win the next three. But we're very bad still. That handling those games, we can't come back in them away from home in the big games. But I did think, I looked at it and thought we'd won 35 out of the 50 phenomenal amount of games to play, a World Cup, so we're playing even more in a limited time, and we've won 35. And it's like, and people, it was only a few, and I've nagged about it on Twitter since, but went like, well, it feels a bit like last season. And then they went, at that point, we'd got 50 points. Oh, look, last season we had this sort. But you just cannot compare. And I'm glad we've already overtaken last season. And I just think sometimes we're going to have to take our medicine. And it still happens. It doesn't happen as frequently. And I remind Nick, one thing I did say after Brentford is we'll have a few more of these this season. And I was right on that. I'm right on my Ollie Watkins. He's back on the gut. But it's like, we said we wanted top four. And obviously you want more. Right, I want an FA Cup final, you know. But it is what it is. And this season, now, I want to win on Thursday. I want to win on Sunday. but it's about getting top four, even though that used to piss me off. Then that's the progress, and anything else is a bonus. And we're in that spell now where every game seems really important. But I just think we know that that squad, when there's injuries, still looks light. But we knew that, we equally said, there's going to be injuries coming up. You know, like, you cannot play this. And it's happened at this point. So I just think, fair play, we've responded to Newcastle. We've got to eradicate those next season. We do very well at home. Get into the big game mentality. But I just totally, totally love Ten Hag and trust him. And what I thought on the Forest game, which was so stress-free and lovely seeing us create chances, again revealed, yeah, we need a target man up front. But was that he said, he went into great detail with the Maguire. I don't know if people saw it, you know, with the Sky. So I've got Maguire on the right now because I know he's better at handling, coming at with balls coming into the right rather than he was at the left. And I just thought, I've said before, I always want more conversations about that. So there's more detail. And he revealed in a minute more than any Sky, you know, like they do. And it was just, and it was effortless. And I just thought, his whole mind and approach. So in bald is best. Hello, Nick.
Hiya. Yeah, well, I don't think my wording was quite as harsh as that to you about not. It's just that it's been quite strange, really, going to Old Trafford and obviously not seeing you at the match day. But yeah, obviously, I've been on a great run at the moment, to be fair, in home games. There's always the odd one in there sometimes that I can't necessarily get to, but I've been on a great run. And you're right, I mean, the first thing I wrote down was bounce back abilities. Obviously, that Newcastle game, I mean, that got me that. I was in a bad mood after that. I don't usually let United get me that badly. I was in a bad mood after that. So to see the Brentford game on the Wednesday, I kind of wanted that. Really, know you'd say it, you know, the sort of that restitution, I guess, is, you know, and just trying to find a way to beat them after what they did to us back in August. So that was great to see us do that. It'd be a resilient performance. I think the squad confidence was low. But then, you know, the confidence, getting that and going into the Everton game, we were brilliant. You know, we created so much, didn't we? You know, in terms of obviously chances, and, you know, obviously wish we could score more goals, that'd be great. But, you know, you've got to create the chances first and foremost. And similar to the Forest game, you know, the biggest thing obviously that's still affecting me is I watched the Forest game obviously, but I was kind of just very nonplussed about watching it, thinking we've got this. The Forest are just terrible, aren't they? They're an awful football team, a lot of changes or whatever you want to say, but they are a bad football team. You feel like our second 11 could be. I wasn't overly concerned about missing like the Varane, but I'm still so annoyed about that Sevilla game this week. I was in a real foul mood at the end of that one. Still annoying me now because I just feel like why can't we beat them? I feel like we played them about 70 times, and I had a look and I think we've only played them like 3 times. But it feels like it's been so much more than that, and we just can't beat them. And, you know, even when you're 2-0 up and cruising, you know, you still can't beat them. I don't know what it is, you know, it's like... But I was thinking, you know, because you mentioned how much you love Ten Hag and things, and me and Nathan had a big debate in the WhatsApp group on the way home from the match on Thursday night. And, you know, I think that for as much as he's been brilliant this season, and he has been, and please don't get me wrong, I do feel like he still has his faults, and I thought that Sevilla game was a prime example of it. That, you know, obviously he did the subs too early. I still don't understand how Alanga gets anywhere near that team, and he's got minutes for United, and I've never played for United. I'll hear about that. But, you know, I feel like that was something that, you know, he really brought that onto himself. Maybe thought the game was won or whatever it was. But I'm worried. I'm worried about Thursday. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm genuinely worried about it, and I just think that we can't. There's something.
I am worried, but, you know, like, I go back even to the great days of Fergie. You know, you could never trust our away form, and it was always hard. So, and I worry with them passing and zipping the ball. Thursday was an anomaly because you play that game 100 times, and even though you could see it coming, and I said to you, I'm glad they blew the whistle because I thought they're going to score and it's going to go 3-2 here. If they play 96 minutes, if they play it up to 98, we're fucked. But you play that game and those, you know, the own goals, we sort of just wilted. But of course, Ten Hag's going to make loads of mistakes. He's 10 months in to joining from Ajax to Manchester United. So he won't make those substitutions again. He'll know that. He maybe did get too clever, but he's allowed, you know, the space and the thing to learn about and who he can trust, because he's still got to suss out which of these squad players you can't get rid of or he's going to keep or want to keep. And Manchester United players should still, whatever, even at 10 men, be able to hold, you know, like, onto a 2-0 and then 2-1 advantage. I do, the Martinez injury, it was frustrating, but it's almost like, I could see it coming, you know. I don't know if that's peculiar. Not a 2-0. I thought we've got this, but just thought we thought it was a bit too easy, I think. And because, well, I think we've got taken away by where they are in the league, you know, like, and they were still creating chance. The good thing from our little spell is that we have been creating spaces. So when we thought they were looking dead on their feet after the League Cup final, United have upped it, their creativity and their play again. And when Eriksen came in on Sunday, you know, it was like, it was beauty. It was a thing of beauty. You think that's what we've been missing. So gutted about Martinez, you know. But I think we just knew that there was going to be injuries. And sadly, United is always, it's never a simple one. We never go down with a hamstring for 2 weeks. It's always something fucking else. But I'm worried about Sunday, to be honest, because I think Brighton will give us a real game. But to be even at this stage, we're in the end of April. Even going back to Fergie, are you in at the end of April with a League Cup in the bag? Of course, great, bring on the treble. You know, like, we got Giddy for a couple of minutes saying the title. But, right, we're in his first season. We're in the equation for every trophy that we've entered. Fucking brilliant. You know, so, like, if you can't have that squad going to Thursday, oh, yeah, there's faults. There's a squad that's still weak in a lot of areas. You know, then bring it on. And there's so much, like I said, we're just skimming over, but there's so much to talk. Like Wan-Bissaka, you know, his role on Sunday, just sort of, whoa, get him as a, like, a right-footed-sided midfielder in there. And, you know, like, excelling. Delow have slated loads of times, putting in performances like that. So there's still so many more positives. And Casemiro just gives me a calmness. Like, when he's in it, I just sit. I'm surprised Fred hasn't featured as much recently. I'd almost, like, I'd have Fred in a lot more than he's played recently, but maybe, I don't know, maybe he gives me a bit of reassurance, which I never thought he did have.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to admit that as well. My mum did ask, came to my mum on Sunday, she said, where's Fred? Like, is he injured or something? Is he just not being 100%? Obviously, well, I mean, I think the thing is, when you look at that midfield against Forest and you saw Casemiro, Bruno and Eriksen, first thing you think, man, is just let his cat out, speaking of cat talk.
Well, she's gone.
But when you see a midfield of Casemiro, Bruno and Eriksen, you know, that's capable of beating anyone. And they're three people for us if we're to throw these and that. Because, you know, you need to make sure Casemiro's protecting, you know, Maguire and Lindelof, don't you? I mean, I don't worry so much about Lindelof. He's okay, he's manageable. But you do worry about something that we can be in terms of how many chances we give up. So those three are going to be the key ones for control games. And certainly if we're to, you know, stop the unthinkable and by beating them lot in the FA Cup final. So, but I read a stat and this week, there's, if we win a game at Old Trafford between now and the end of the season, that'll be the most wins we've ever had in a season at Old Trafford.
Jesus, that's... Where do you stand on Maguire on Sunday? I thought, you know, obviously a shaky start, but I thought, and what he was doing, which is out of his comfort zone, is he was bringing the ball forward a lot. So I like that. You know, like, we know, I think everyone knows, he's not Ten Hag's favourite. He's going to leave in the summer because he knows that. You ain't going to keep the England captain. So I thought, he takes a lot of pelters. You know, like, we know his limitations. We've seen that. We've seen an upgrade. But I thought, again, he's, like, picked out. Yeah, he had a dodgy opening, but he recovered. And he didn't get, you know, like, we've seen enough recently. He didn't get a red card and yellow in 3 minutes or whatever. So I thought that was a bit, you know.
Well, he's a professional player. You know, you should really know that, shouldn't you, to not be getting a, you know, a yellow card. You know, but it's the same thing in those rugby tackles. It's almost every other game he's getting a yellow card for that, though. And teams are targeting him. That's the thing. And he knows. And that video of Anthony when he scored, when he saw Maguire, I mean, that was pretty damning. I don't think you can...
You could have a meme about any 2 seconds. You could have a meme about me going, like, two fingers up to you now. I think we read way too much.
Imagine imagine what Anthony must do to Maguire in training? Do you know what I mean? He can't have any respect for him, can he? He must have circles around, spinning around with a ball that he must know. Come on, we can all see it. You've seen it.
I thought that was a meme. You could take 2 seconds out of any game and make it look suspicious. And like, what a world, what an internet world where we're concentrating on what Anthony's look to Maguire after a goal is. It's like, does that not show we all spend way too much on a fucking phone when that is a meme or whatever it's called? Anthony was, you know, like, I think he's taking pills, but God, he excites me. And every time defenders, even though they know what he's going to do, they still don't know how to handle it. And yeah, you want him to be more clinical and yeah, play the right pass, but again, in the first season, it's definitely ascendancy to hope. God, yeah, 23 or whatever, Sancho had his best, even though it was his best game in a long while, I thought, because he did a couple of dinks in the second half, and I thought he's got a bit of confidence. He still frustrates me because he doesn't, in a 50-50, he's like, 50-50 for him is 90-10 to the other person, but it's like, I don't know, you just want more, and you think, is it ever going to come? Is he going to be one of those players which, is it ever going to come? I'd rather Anthony than Sancho any day of the week, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, we're a million times better than Anthony's in there. I mean, I've been saying for the last 7 or 8 years that we need a headed midfielder, and you feel like we've not had one. And as many said that we were signing Sancho be that right-sided midfielder, he was never going to play on that side. He was always going to be the one that wants to cut in his way. He played most of his football at Dortmund. I don't know where this myth came from that he seemed to play so much on the right. And the thing is, him is that to cut in, and obviously Rashford's going to be your best player that's going to do that. You've got Martial that also going to do that, and God knows who else. But Anthony gives you that balance where you can use the full length of the pitch, and that's why we look so much better with him. Yeah, it might be a one-trip pony, but it worked for Robin. You know, it's well, you know, worth him for years and years and years. So I don't worry about Anthony too much. I just wish he was quicker at making decisions. That's the biggest issue I've got with him. He's too slow sometimes in possession of the ball when he gets it, that just needs to just have a bit more confidence in.
Do I credit you, or is it Luckhurst with the Robin comparison first? I think you got there first, didn't you? If that was a while back.
Saying it since like the third game of the season.
I went to see Billy Ocean yesterday on a Monday night, third gig in 5 years. Oh, there's still life in me. But so we went, it was a really good, like really good, 73 as well. And you think, the only thing, they closed the bar at 8:30 because I suppose, but there was an air, there was such an air of 1980s people in. I just thought it just had, I can smell 1980s by the average age, like really going for it. But my missus made me laugh on one thing. She said, he did about 13 or 14 songs and she went, is that it? I said, he's fucking 73. Like, just go on, get back out there and do another hour, Billy. But here's my thought of tangents. So I thought, you may abuse me, mock me, people, but I've always wanted to see Billy Ocean. Why I left it this late, I don't know, but it ticked off. I saw Billy Ocean live and loved it. But it made me think, bizarrely, I've also fancied, I have seen The Proclaimers. I saw The Proclaimers in October 1988 play a song when United played Hibs at in a friendly during the season. We used to play games in Scotland during the season. So they played just before we came out on the pitch. And it was a weird game because we won 3-0 and the crowd were going ballistic for Strachan, hatred, right from the off. So one of their players, two-footed, like booted him up in the air and got sent off in a friendly, which was then really like unheard of. So anyway, so I'd seen The Proclaimers, seeing a sending off. We ended up in the station bar at midnight. And I think there was a few grapplings going on with local fans who were coming in. There were grapples going on all over the place. Anyway, I remember, I think the train to Manchester or Preston left, and ours, the overnight to London, was about 20 minutes later, and it ended, everyone we knew got off, obviously, and it ended with about 20 of us who had to get from the station bar to our overnight sleeper being chased by about 40 Hibernian casuals. And I always remember thinking, what a weird night and day this has been. On the piss, Proclaimers, sending off, running, not some of the others were up for it, but like running to get our trainers. And I was thinking, go to bed. It's 12:40 at night. What are you doing chasing us around a station? And all this happened in between a Billy Ocean song there was a break in a Billy Ocean song, and all that, How United, always comes back to mind. Can you beat that, Nick?
I don't think I want it.
Also,
I'd say is that they're probably walking
500 miles. Oh, God. Well, I think I was running at 500 miles an hour. I was 17. God. And that was all day drinking. We didn't have all day drinking in England then. That's how it was bonkers. The bars used to shut, didn't they? So, it, like, what a weird universe that was. What's that, Nick?
I wasn't born in 1988.
Fucking hell, don't. See, this goes back. Paul Oster. And one, I'm never going to compare myself to Joe Louis, the boxer, but one of his quotes was, I did the best I could with what I had. And I always think about that with Red News. So anyone who ever knocks it, what's that? Say, Barney did what he could. God, I've used myself in the third person there. Sorry, people. Right, now, Monty Don, I would recommend for my Zen, Gardening Around the World. Gardens Around the World, 80 Gardens Around the World. The episode 4, it's on iPlayer, is brilliant because he travels, because it's much more than gardens. He travels around Latin America and it's just brilliant episode. But anyway, in his American one, he says John Lennon was the biggest influence in his life at that point when he was growing up. And it made me think, all of mine are pretty much United. Norm, Robbo, who's yours, Nick?
I know you asked me this. Thinking about life, and I thought, crikey, I don't know. Mine are all United. Well, I mean, I used to get inspired by Ole in the '90s. You know, I was 10. You know, he's the man who was knocking in the goals at the time, and him and Van Nistelrooy always used to be the ones that I grew up watching. That, you know, you wanted to be like. So I'd probably pick those two, really. I mean, Eric left when I was 8, so I've only got very hazy memories of Eric. So I always feel like I want to say him, but at the same time, I just think, well. You know, only kind of really the parts of his careers. I think Ole and Ruud were the two that really, really grabbed me, to be fair, I'd say.
Well, would other influences, like B.B. King, Ray Charles, music was huge. Obviously, you know, my dad was a musician, so growing up in that environment, and I got to see Ray Charles live, and it was like they were... But it's nice having influence. I would say the Monty Don thing. So he goes into Brazil and there are people on the Amazon who grow like trees and fruit on floating houses. It's just incredible. It's like, it makes you think all we've got in the world, all the things, and then there's people growing trees on floating, dictated by the tide. It's just, it makes you think like all the stresses in the modern world and then that's going on the other side of the world. Mental. Right. I've got other questions, Nick. What have I got here? So the Ollie thing, I don't ever want to do him a disservice, but it made me think, when Wan-Bissaka was running forward, I did think, and when you explain the Maguire thing, like, he's a coach and a detailed tactician, and like, it, you know, 18 months ago, no disrespect again to the man who chained himself to the wall, but we had Mike Phelan, you know, and you felt like we were United playing analogue football in a digital area. And I think we said it a few times, and it's like, now you see the advancements. And I know that there can be criticisms of Eric, but why I'm so defensive, right from the off, you know, he binned Ralph as an advisor. He had tough calls right from the off about Ronaldo and didn't hide. He went head on saying, I'm dealing with this. That friendly, you know, where Ronaldo fucked off home, he dealt with it right at pre-season. You know, just so many instances, the Rashford at Wolves, even the player who's playing well. So just think, like, not that there, it's probably just, you know, like, you react to a social media cut the post, but just think, come on, people, even if, say we lose Thursday, say we lose Sunday, let's get a grasp of perspective and say, we knew this was never going to be easy, but it's been a lot fucking easier than we thought it'd be.
Yeah, definitely. I the thing that I have really, next two games are obviously clear that, of the season. The games after that as well are tough as well. Away at Spurs, you've obviously got to go away to Brighton. Well, we've got Villa at home, who are obviously one of the informed teams, and they look ruthless. I watched the game against Newcastle and they look good. You look at the last three games when you've got like Wolves at home, Bournemouth at home, you know, you just think of Bournemouth away, Fulham at home, you just don't want it to peter out like it did the last time. And, you know, sort of whimpered out when we went to Stockholm and I think we played like someone, I can't remember, was that Hull home or something like that? I was just thinking, what are we doing? A Palace at home, it was a thing. And you just don't want it to whimper out. And the last three games just really looked like it could whimper out. So, you know, we've got to win one of these two. You You know, I don't know which one it is, but I'd be very surprised to get through, but I'll be honest. And
I don't know, we're at a phase, nothing would surprise me. I don't know, it's like, it's impossible. Maybe the Sevilla aura will get to us, but we should be able to, surely. It might be one of those squeaky bum and it does go to extra time or whatever, but you'd love United goal and then it quietens down and you just think you can do this, because then this is building for the games next season. It made me laugh when Nathan said that poor Nathan, well, he's now in Seville and he'll be in Seville tomorrow and he won't be poor, he'll be happy as any, but he had a very bad norovirus or something around the last game, Everton, and he said thanks. This is how much it had all got to him. He wasn't drinking much in that pod afterwards, and he went, thanks very much for buying the mag. And I thought, we haven't even sold today, Nathan. Get to bed. You need to get to bed, mate.
It's like shell shock, isn't it, when people come back from the war and Nathan's there just thinking that he's sold, but he's not sold. He's just used to being in like 3-hour torrential rain, and he's thank you for buying the mag. That's why he's been poor.
Yeah, we need him back. To endlessly please support the mag if you can. You won't like the new one, is a good mag. The amount of hours that have gone into it, I don't agree with, you know, pieces of it and areas of it, but I think it's great. I love it. I love it even more with each mag thinking, yeah, you know, that's the whole point. Let's go to the elephant in the room. I hope the protests. We're going to like promote whatever 1958 are doing for Villa. It's got to be, you know, we can talk all we want, and I will in the editorial about the next phase, but we can't get to the next phase until they're gone. And the worry has always been, what cards have they got over their sleeve? And, you know, I'm sure they're thinking desperately, how can we cling on here? But you cannot tell me that if four of the six are open for a sell, that is not going to be. It's either going to be a mess completely with them falling out and squabbling, and they remain and it becomes so even more unwholesome than it already has been, or they will kick off to the extent that they're going to take one of these offers. But I just think, isn't it unedifying, you know, like we'll go to a third, fourth, fifth, 600th phase, just not for the best interests of United, but what can they get out for themselves? None of this surprises me, though. I didn't think they're not going to, you know, the golden goose is not going to be given up without a fight on their hands. And you can't imagine the horrible, reprehensible conversations they're having with hedge funds and, you know, just like, what became of our football club? And thus it always was with football these days and sport. But you just think, we're better than this, or we should be. And it's like, if anything sums it up, then the sale is. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think it's getting ridiculous, isn't it? But I mean, no one thought this was going to be a quick process. I think there was a few people that sort of seemed to think that it was going to. My business knowledge is pretty shocking, to be honest with you. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of that, but, you know, even if the Qataris or whoever it was going to be had stumped up $6 billion or whatever it is they're looking for, they still would have hauled United out for it as well. You know, I just can only hope that, you know, the new owner will get me on side if they put football club actually again, you know, because it's just, that's what should be first, shouldn't it? You know, we've been saying that for however long now, you know, since it's been off there. So, as you say, you just want to get behind these well, because the momentum's there. You know, every game, if we doubt, is great. Every single time we seem to go 1-0 up, the song seems to come back out again. And I that it had proper traction at the moment, that you get the feeling that it isn't going to go anywhere. And, you know, you just need to make sure that you get behind it. The alternatives, you know, as you say, we'll worry about them if someone else comes. But the full sale's got to be the first thing. We've got to get them going. First and foremost, and that's going to be the priority. So whatever 1958 are doing, just definitely get behind it. You know, get some traction, aren't they?
I hope so. This doesn't go away, you know, like, it cannot be put back in the box. You can't do this, I think. But nothing, you know, what this will drag out, it will just be as unethical and as unhorrible and unwholesome as they've always been. Like, Ahmad at Sunderland, I watched a couple of his games. He looks very good, and that's maybe me getting the giddy, or like what he could do with us next season. But he does seem, you know, to have really, really stepped up a level to where he's a match winner. And there, and like a Sunderland fan said, I will be absolutely gutted when he leaves us at the end of the season. So you think that's encouraging, that it might have taken, and sometimes it does, it takes a few years. Right, I'm going to go. There's a few things. It pissed me off when people were slagging off, of course they were ABU, you know, journos, when Rashford went to New York, as if he'd gone to, you know, race across the world, link into the Lost article in the next mag. Three Reds were on the Channel 4 Lost. But, you know, like, he's gone to five hours in New York, and it's like, how dare he do something like that? I thought I was going to have Zen of no hates of the week. I don't like Gwyneth Paltrow calling herself a lifestyle influencer. No, not having that. Right. Do you know how silk is made? Jesus Christ. They use worms, silkworms, obviously. If you watch it, you'll never own anything silk again. Google it, YouTube, how silk is made. It's it was on some travel. I'm going through a travel document. Silk. It's appalling how it's made, Nick. It made me feel queasy. Right, the other thing, I had a dream the other week that Tony Blackburn joined us after the game. And I put this to you lot, and one of you went, what did he drink? It's like, not why you have, why are you dreaming about Tony Blackburn? What did he have as his pint? Right, other thing, we're going to Wembley. You're going to meet up. I'm taking Albert. Very excited. So we might not do one, or I'll let you do one, but very excited for Sunday. But to show that Wembley has always been cheapskate, always falling apart, overhyped, did you know the initial two towers at Wembley, back then, to save costs, the twin towers were made of timber and they just concreted out over the shell to make it look like the whole thing was posh. They weren't even real. I never knew that.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that, yeah.
Right, anything else?
I
haven't talked to people in days. Didn't even talk to anyone at Billy Ocean. Didn't like people. I got up and danced, Nick, for the first time in years. Didn't want anyone dancing next to me.
Why didn't Chloe send me any videos of that? That's exactly what I would have
wanted. Yeah, no.
No, I'm really looking forward to Wembley. I'm incredibly giddy, obviously. Bad admin, met the week, and I'm still kicking myself for it. I think I'm definitely the most giddy for that Wembley trip out of everyone I know, because every single person was at the League Cup final. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. Me and Moz are obviously up on the way down on the bus, so early in the morning, so it'd be a good day for us. I've even booked the day off work the next day, which is rare for me usually to do that. So I'm very much up for it, and just I really hope we can win. I feel like it's been ages since I've been to Wembley. Was it the FA Cup final? Was it the one after that? Phil Jones Hazard once? I've not been to Wembley.
Well, we all met up after, and you were very, like, I don't mean it disrespectfully, but like how I used to take, and sometimes do, you know, but took results like really to your soul, and you looked, you couldn't even like talk.
Because the face value ticket was £110. And I was thinking, it's taken 3.5 minutes to take the penalty. It's like, it's cost me about £5 waiting for us to put the ball down on the spot. That's why I was in such a bad mood, Barney. No one should have to pay £110 to watch Phil Jones. So, yeah, I think I was right to feel a bit aggrieved.
Well, it becomes the unbearable, like, the permutations for this season, and I have been saying it for a while that I thought Arteta and that, I know they were playing well and that, but I still think they bottle it, and it just, then it looms as a seat. I just think, I cannot bear the thought, let's not even go there, but of a cup fight, an FA Cup fight, I just cannot bear I can't bear the thought of it. So, but win on Sunday, just that, you know, like,
so hopefully, the good news is hopefully we can be getting people like Guy John back. I thought the Sevilla game was the game that we've missed Guy most in. You know, obviously someone who can get the ball and just take it to the opposition. You know, I think we really, really need him as an option off the bench or someone that can be in rotation. So hopefully, I don't know when he's due back. I've still not seen anything on it, but hopefully if we can get Rashford back, then this running, and we can get through these next two games, you know, that's a positive.
And the amount of games, you know, I moaned for ages how many games we played since Burnley in the League Cup in December after the World Cup. But they're coming to an end now. You know, the maximum, what is it? The maximum we'll have is 15. So, that's, you know, you count those down so you can drag them over the line if they are walking. I will say Shane is hopefully listening. And I'll ask him to please listen to this on the plane over to Seville. But he doesn't like Phil Collins. He doesn't like Pantos. I think we need to quiz Shane on his weird, like, what gives him phobias, because there can't be anyone in the world who has a Panto and Phil Collins phobia. So I keep sending him, I can feel it cooling in the air tonight. It's very cruel, but on Alexa I keep playing it and then sending him a little voice note. Sorry, Shane, that's despicable behavior, isn't it? It's not good.
You know what, he's going to be getting you back when he's sending pictures of tapas over the next couple of days.
I know, don't. San Sebastian, then Budapest, and like I was halfway through so many tabs last week versus that sounds wrong. So many internet tabs open about Budapest, and I was thinking, and close them all down again. 2-0. Let's see what happens here. Don't see, that's a lesson. Don't get carried away ever. Right, you got any hates, Nick?
Not any hates, but I've got an annoyance for the week though. It was a bit of a mild one with the lads behind me that were booked best flights at half time on the ground. Yeah, that was a bit of an annoying one. I didn't see them at full time, but I'd be intrigued to see what their reaction was. But they were talking about trying to get it booked on Skyscanner, so I just thought that confidence backfired a little bit. It was tempting fate, so I'm holding them too personally responsible.
I won't get you to sing Happy Birthday to Red Nose, but it's just phenomenal. It is, like, I'm not met again, you know, 36 years, Jesus Christ. And I can still remember, like, 16 selling against Liverpool. And then, you know, like, can you imagine, like, a young Cockney, and I was treated so well by some people, and then, you know, looked after by a lot. I'll write all that up one day. Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? But it's just like, so to still think there's people, and I'll read page 32 of the next mag, because it's... Just read page 32 of the next mag is all I'll say. Make a note of that. So we've gone over what I think. Thanks for this, Nick.
All right.
Right, so I'm going to ask you predictions. Thursday and Sunday.
I think the Seville game is the one that I'm worried about. I think that them getting that result against Valencia, that we can watch Seville versus Valencia, this is how annoyed I was at the weekend. Them doing that sort of really moved them clear of safety. They obviously heavily rotated all last week, so I'd imagine to maybe probably go with a bit more of a strengthened squad. And yeah, okay, yeah, they've been down there, but they've got a new manager, and I'm just playing teams that seem to have new managers. So I think we'll go out the Europa League, but I think we'll beat Brighton.
I just don't know. We're going to do both. I just got a feeling all along, like, Budapest, we've talked about it for so long, but I just thought, and don't get me wrong, the semi will be very hard, but I've got a feeling we'll be all right on Thursday. We should be all right, you know. And what's the difference again in a year is I'm looking forward, even like after the Newcastle, I'm looking forward to the next game. Go and bring it on, let's see a response. You know, I'm excited, even though not there, and I'll be watching it sober, you know, like after all the parenting things and doing Thursday afternoon, it's like after school, bring it on, get that game on. You know, like, so the buzz, we've still, you know, let's see, we're United.
Yeah.
We don't quite do what we want, but if we could, wouldn't it be nice? We've got to get, we've planned so many routes to Budapest. Come on.
Yeah, it'd be great to get there. I mean, look, Seville were probably one of the worst sides I've seen at Old Trafford this season, to be fair, but as I say, it was rotated, so it's just to see how that, if they do rotate again, or if they do play the first team.
They have got good players, though. Let's be honest. They've got. There might be some. There might be like a mid, you know, fifth or sixth Europa League. This is a Europa League team for them. But you think, you know, they've got experience, the know-how. I wasn't really angry at the time with the Martinez, and then you think when people who have played the game, like Scholes, going, no, they weren't doing it out of comradeship, you know, get the Argentinian flags. They were doing it because they knew, like, we've got an extra couple of minutes here playing with 10 men. So, and I had totally not you know, tweaked that at the time. I'm stupid. But you just think, yeah, so they'll try it. There'll be a few tricks thrown at us, I'm sure. But imagine. Were you watching it?
I'm going to go to Kylie's, Keely's, whatever you want to call it, in town. I think that's going to be the plan. Get a Guinness. I'm probably going to a couple, either way, whichever way it goes. So one of the lads from work who's not into football, so they'll keep me company. Fine.
Is that a good or a bad thing, watching it with someone who doesn't like football? How can someone not like football? Nick?
He likes football, you know, but he's like, he's just not a... He doesn't support anybody.
Oh, one of those. I don't like that. Oh, just let football be the victor. No, thanks. Go away.
It's quite nice, actually, to be fair. He's into it. He's got decent knowledge, but he's all through playing, like, fantasy football, like that. But it'd just be nice to have someone talking to me about something that isn't football in case we get knocked out.
unless you're flagellizing, you know, flagellizing yourself after a defeat, going, why do I do this? Then you're not a proper football fan. Right. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it for all you do.
On Sunday, anyway.
Say we'll meet you with Albert, but obviously I want to get in early after the farce of the League Cup final. And Nick said, I may want to meet you, but I'm not meeting you to buy a pint at those prices. Fair dues. I'll try and get Albert to smuggle four cans in under his hat or something. All right, cheers.
Fair, we probably will come in and meet you, but yeah, as I say, it'd be nice to be in Seville. If I could have got the Friday off work, I'd be there, but I couldn't book it off. So
make a note in your joint calendar, 36 years time, you'll be talking to someone about taking over the Red News dynasty, Nick.
Oh, the dad
paying tribute to me.
I'll be doing a talk.
No, you'll be abusing me. I've referred to myself in the third person and been, no, shut up, Bunny. Right, cheers, Nick. Onwards and upwards. Come on.
Glory, glory, Man United. See you Sunday.
Cheers, mate.
Please support the Red News Sub campaign. It will keep the podcast going. We need just 124 more Reds.